Hello everyone, we welcome you to the 13th session, which is work-life balance and related issues of quality. In today's scenario, knowledge has become a vital and crucial part. Knowledge in society, there are n number of knowledge that we are bombarded with, and hence this particular society is known as knowledge society. Many people are now looking forward to working in knowledge efforts or intellectual pursuits rather than physical efforts. Physical effort has now taken a step back. Knowledge workers work for more than 16 hours in a week. As a result of their persistent hobbies or personal hobbies, interest clashes with their work life. Now, the question arises, should one focus on their professional life? Or should one focus on their personal life? This is a question which comes in front of every person who is working in. Earlier, we did not have women working. Since women have now started working, this poses as a newer issue. Life is a bundle that contains all the strands together. Hence, need to balance work life with other related issues is a bigger issue of this generation. One must make both love and work healthily together. Earlier, it was just physical and material needs that one used to look forward to. I have a house, I have a car. That's what one wanted. With the increasing economy and our inclination towards knowledge economy, the quality of work life has undergone drastic change. What does work life or quality of work life actually mean? It refers to all the favorable as well as unfavorableness of a job environment in which people are working in the organization. The period of scientific management, which was focused solely on specialization and efficiency, has gone a sea of a change or an evolutionary or revolutionary change. The traditional management, like scientific management, have given inadequate attention to human values. In the present scenario, needs, aspirations of the employees are constantly changing. Employees are now redesigning their job for better quality work life, or QWL as we fondly know as. Now, quality of work life is a strategy in HRM or human resource management, and it is increasing interest and very important for the organization. And we are using many terms like humanization of work, quality of working life, industrial democratization, participative work life. All these words are used interchangeably for the similar concept called as quality work life. There are divergent views towards the exact meaning of quality of work life, and according to the American Society of Training and Development, quality work life is a process of work organizations which enable its members of all levels to actively participate in shaping the values of the organizations, and these values are based on meeting the goals and enhance effectiveness of the organization. It improves the quality of work life for the employees. Now, quality of work life is always a way about thinking about people, their work, their organization. What are the distinctive elements? Firstly, it concerns with what is the impact of work on people as well as the organizational effectiveness or their productivity. Secondly, the idea of participation. How can people become problem solving and how can they help into decision making of the organization? Luthens has further described it as the overriding purpose of quality work life is a change to the organizational climate at work so that human technological organizational interface, wherein human side of it, technological side of it, and the organizational side of it, all the three of them work together so that work life balance or the quality of life is enhanced. Quality work life is based on a very generalized approach of the organizational front. Generalized approach includes all those factors which affect your physical, social, economical, sociological, cultural well-being of every employee. While the organizational approach, or from the organizational point of view, it is concerned with redesigning of the operational setup in accordance with the values of democratic setup of the society. Now, from the definitions which we have just gone through, it can be seen that quality of work life is concerned with taking care of the higher needs. Other than the basic needs, we also have higher needs. So, all the higher needs which are there with every employee, how do we take care of them? And the overall climate of the workplace is adjusted in a way that it produces more humanized and down-to-earth jobs. Quality of work life is also viewed as a bigger term or the umbrella term under which employees feel completely satisfied with the working environment, with working extended, wholehearted cooperation and support the management so that their productivity and work environment is improved. There are certain issues in quality of work like trade unions. Now, trade unions, they claim that they are responsible for improvement of various facilities to the workers, whereas management takes credit for improved salaries, benefits and facilities. There is PR or there is HR who has been working and identified as a manager who takes care of all the issues of the organization. Now, this particular special issue which quality of work life handles is like wages, salaries, what kind of fringe benefits to be provided and to which employee, and to also lead in providing them or maintaining higher order of quality work life. There are certain issues which are being seen in quality work life like pay and stable employment. A good pay is something which still entices people, attracts a lot of employees, and it is one of those factors which gives in job satisfaction and employee satisfaction. There are alternate means for providing wages and should be developed in a way to increasing the cost of living index. Increasing the levels, the rates of income and profession tax. So stability, the more stability you provide, the greater extent it can be provided in enhancing the facilities for human resource development. Occupational stress. Nowadays, from the smallest person you have in the house to right up to the other person who might be the eldest person of the house, everyone feels stressed. This, it's a kind of strain on one's emotional thought process, physical conditions, and it's determined by the nature of work that we are undergoing. The working conditions, n number of hours, the way we are bombarded with work, the pause in work schedule, all of this causes occupational stress. Workers' ability and how you yourself are dealing with the job requirements. Stress is caused by irritability, hyper-excitement, depression, unstable behavior, fatigue, stuttering, stumbling, psychosomatic pain, heavy smoking, drug abuse. Now, stress, it affects employees' productivity. PR, HR, in order to minimize stress, has to identify or prevent or tackle that particular problem. So, he may identify the arrangement of treatment of the problem with health issues of the health unit of the company. Now, alternative work schemes like work from home kind of setup, flexible working hours, staggering hours, reducing the work hours, or having part-time kind of employment, ad hoc kind of employment, wherein we are introducing convenience, comfort of the workers, which is being incorporated as a part of the work schedule. Now, this offers the individual leisure time, flexible hours, and work which is going to be preferred by the employee. Recognition. Now, employees are human beings. And rather than seeing them as laborers, how can we try to improve their quality of work life? Participative management, awarding the rewarding system, congratulating their employees, praising them, job enrichment, offering prestigious designations to their job, providing furnished decent offices, offering membership to club associations, providing vehicles, driver, chauffeur, offering vacation trips, some of the means to recognize the employees, making the talented employees feel, yes, you are required by the organization and this is the cost that we are providing for you so that you have an enhanced lifestyle. Workers' supervision, which is related to congenial worker supervision, harmonious supervisor as well as the employer as well as employee relationship is required. So that there's a social association, belongingness and achievement as a result of work results. So this in turn leads to better quality work life. Adequacy of resources. Resources which we have should match with the objectives. If not, the employees will not be able to achieve their objectives. Hence, there will be dissatisfaction and your quality of work life will further reduce. Seniority. If there are promotions which only happen on the basis of seniority within the operating employees, merit, if it is considered as a basis for advancement, people like it. But if it's just going to be on the basis of seniority, there would not be any effort which has been put on the part of the employees. Now, earlier we used to have government organizations, even today, it works more on seniority rather than merit basis. So government organizations are now being seen as very laid back kind of organizations. To overcome that, many organizations are now revamping themselves. And this revamp is something which was absolutely necessary. Organizations are now looking at themselves and placing themselves as merit appreciating organizations rather than just having mediocre promotions on the base of seniority. So promotional policies, all the activities, it should be fair and just to ensure quality work life. There are certain issues in quality work life. Now, work life violence. Work-life violence is a threat to the violence against workers. It can occur within the organization, outside the organization. It could result in physical assault. It could also lead to homicide. And this is one of the causes which leads to job-related deaths. Now, it manifests or it shows up itself in terms of employers and employees nationwide. We come across a lot of news which highlights this. Now, why does one face a lot of workplace violence? Now, it takes place in many forms and it has many causes. Angered former employees, customers who feel they are not valued or they are wronged for some reason, stressed out employees, conflict between workers also can elevate or come up to a point that violent altercation at office. So, personal life is spilt over into work life and sometimes these personal issues, they present themselves at office with dangerous consequences. So, companies that recognize the potential for workplace violence are the best to prevent such violence. Lack of pre-employment screening. Companies that do not conduct background screening of the employees, especially having a run-through, if they have some If they are prone to violence, if they are been having a violent past, there are many companies who use psychological testing and they check in the hiring process if the employee has potential violent candidate. Now the test is not foolproof because there's no way of actually getting into the mindset of the person and trying to find out if this person can actually get into some kind of violent behavior. Science has proved and research has actually come up with many proofs that if we have a thorough background check done, there are n number of times wherein these background checks bring in a lot of issues which the employee has had or faced in his former life. These issues, there could be gaps within education, there could be certain documentation which is not complete, there are forged certificates which come into picture. All this can be screened out and your pre-employment screening becomes a vital set of information for employees. Stress. Many companies attempt to dictate this. Now, employees, they do not leave organizations for their personal issues at the door. What they do is they carry the workplace stress back home and employees, they cause an employee to snap or to lash out to whomever is perceived as hostile and this environment becomes too cluttered, it becomes very overworking and employees become very hostile to the working environment. So if the employee is battling with personal issues, in combination, they can have very disastrous or deadly effects. So stress could lead to a burnout effect, and stressed when reached up to a burnout effect, you would lose the employee forever. Lack of employee assistance program. It's also called as EAP. This can be diffused as a potential violent employee before the employee has a chance to act. So there are stages through which a person goes in the time of stress. If you have a committee or a program wherein such people can be identified, and these people could easily be acknowledged or we could address to their program, and no one gets harmed in any way, and the person is also tackled well. So with an EAP program, the employees have impartial kind of ability. They discuss their stressors, they discuss how things could be changed, how things could be worked in their favor, and the possible assistance, possible treatment, and how things needs to be treated before they escalate into violence. Denial. Now, many companies feel there's nothing wrong with my employees, and there is nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with me as such, and no employee wants to accept that there's something wrong with me. So returning to do harm with the former boss is actually the fuel that workplace violence actually happened. Now, ignorance of the potential violence in an organization is a cause of proper safety kind of issues. Conflict resolution measures in place, leaving the organization vulnerable, such as attack from the employees, customers, lacking tools to diffuse this particular situation. Mostly, organizations are not even equipped in thinking what should be done if this situation occurs. If there is a unit which is being burned down by other employees or by customers, how should we tackle that situation? How should we deal with this situation? So the best PR situation or the best public relations situation wherein the organization tries to minimize their harm is by saying nothing happened. There is nothing wrong which took place here, and everything is absolutely right. So denial mode is what the organization gets into. Disgruntled customers and former employees. So a person who feels a company has wronged him in some way, it can lash out the company. It would be the customers who feel that he was cheated. And the employee also feels that he was fired, laid off, or wronged by. So because there's a feeling of dissatisfaction which was not sorted out properly, this backlashes, this is the one which haunts the company. So sorting out issues there and there, giving a justified reason about which step, giving rational kind of approval for it, and giving a stage-wise approval that these are the things which went wrong and how we could have worked on it. What are the consequences of workplace violence? Major attacks. Major attacks would be physical assault, we could have psychological trauma, anger related accidents, because you're angry and you have those thoughts in your mind which could lead to a different mindset altogether. Rape could happen, there could be arson, there could be murder which takes place. Minor kind of arguments, violent arguments, verbal batting, violation of ethical rules. You could damage some kind of property. You'll try to harm that person's property in some way. You would try to break in doors, windows. How do we minimize workplace violence? A lot of counseling helps in this matter, because employees feel powerful when they are being addressed to, and they feel good when they are being pacified. Divert powerful employees towards the organizational goals. Ensure them that this is not what you were meant to be in the organization for, and divert their attention to. and put them into more constructive kind of job, put them into a profile where they would be working in with others, ask them to socialize with people, interact with a lot of people, create a more friendly kind of environment rather than just target oriented, where people would be able to bring out the wrong sides of things. People could bring out what they are not happy with. Formulating teams with all kinds of employees, formulating teams which works at every juncture, eliminating candidates who have violent behavior at the time of selection. Formulate training programs, ensure that we are not punishing people, but we are bringing out the best out of people. When you are imposing in punishment, you ensure it is for the act done rather than at the person who is doing it. Ensure that these violators are told that because you have done this particular act, you have been given this kind of punishment. The severity of punishment has to be justified and has to be rationalized along with the amount of problems which have been created for the organization and the other employees, other customers, and how it has affected or tarnished the brand of the organization. Another significantly important issue which is gaining a lot of voice these days is sexual harassment and human resource. Now, human resource was into organizations from a very long time, but the role of sexual harassment and human resource, it's a very difficult area, a very delicate part of human resource. And handling allegations, especially dealing with sexual harassment occurs when an employee is continued with unwelcome sexual advances, requests for sexual favors, and other verbal as well as physical employee, and how anything which is against your own wish, anything which you are not comfortable with, anything which you are not okay with is being put forth. Now, many employees, they are not aware about sexual harassment activities and how they occur into workplaces. So at times they are surprised when they learn that this even happened or this was even a part of sexual harassment. So sexual harassment can occur in many situations, and it could be because there are emails being posted, pictures being posted which are sexually related in nature. Repeated requests for dates that are turned down. Unwanted flirting which the person is not open to. Now, sexual harassment could anybody who is grabbing, groping the employee around the waist, patting a co-worker, interfering with the employee's ability to get around the workplace, playing some kind of sexually suggestive music, unwanted joke, gestures, offensive words on their clothing, or something which is very personal to you. Now, what are the effects? Now, because of these things, there is an effect on the person also. There could be serious effects. Sometimes jokes on someone else could cost us a lot. So behaviors can cause significant health problems, financial difficulties, even global repercussions. Emotional well-being. Sexual harassment can jeopardize the victim's emotional and mental health. It can lead to loss of self-esteem. It can even lead to compromise in personal relationship. So, sexual harassment in the workplace can cause significant stress, anxiety, and the employment harassment lawyer is likely to work with the clients who have suffered long-term clinical issues. Depression has resulted from sexual harassment. Physical health. Physical health and emotional health are very closely related. So when a victim is sexually harassed, mental and emotional problems, they actually arise because of it. So there could be a loss of appetite, there could be headaches, there could be weight fluctuations, disturbance in your sleep pattern. The sleep disturbances that can actually lead to serious health problems, so that there could be other issues which arise like hormonal imbalance, there could be an increase in high blood pressure, Your immune system could go for a toss. Additionally, there are with the health problems, sexual harassment frequently leads to financial crunch. It's very important to tell your sexual harassment attorney or your advocate who's fighting for you that any sexual harassment issue, if it's lost, if it's had effect on your wages, unpaid leaves. Now, some of the victims who have faced sexual harassment may even look at the broader perspective. It could be a loss in job reference. It could also leave that current position because they are so harassed at the moment and they might want to join up some different organization because of the kind of hostile environment which has been created, and they really don't want to work in that environment. Now, global consequences. Sexual harassment has a direct effect on employees, especially in the global economy. So every year, millions are lost because people are absent. There's low productivity, employee turnover, low morale, legal costing, which is stemming from sexual harassment. Economy also suffers because of premature kind of recruitment and high insurance cost. How can we reduce sexual harassment, or the measures which we can take to reduce sexual harassment? Ensure that the workplace, everyone knows what is sexual harassment and what cannot be tolerated. Instead of one person saying it, if we have a policy which is being written down, penned down and made publicly visible, and the policy is very clear to everyone, would help in. There would be no tolerance for such kind of behavior. Provide educational and information, which is open communication, guidance sessions which are being given, and it's of particular importance to removing taboo of silence which is surrounded by cases of sexual harassment. Information sessions, personal meetings, office meetings, group discussions, problem solving, every method can be effective which helps in this particular respect. Now, which method should we be ideally using? You can use any method you like, so long as it is helping the case scenario at hand. Staff should be well informed. Secrecy has to be maintained about the person. The best way about coping with the aggression, the guidelines which have to be developed on the development of sexual harassment at workplace. According to our constitution, before 1997, what we used to depend was, we used to have an Indian Penal Court, the sections which section 359, and this particular section gave us insights about sexual harassment at workplace. But there was no special law framed out for it. In the year 1997, the Indian Constitution underwent a sea of change. The Vishakha case, which came up, gave in guidelines for handling or dealing with sexual harassment. These particular guidelines have to be followed, and it's a mandate for every organization to come up and follow this particular guidelines. Any organization which has 10 members and more than 10 members is obliged to follow this particular guidelines for sexual harassment at workplace. Developing an anti-harassment policy with employees, managers and union representative. Communicating, holding meetings and communicating this particular policy to all the employees and letting them know that we do have a policy which is being made for this particular cause. Making sure that all managers as well as supervisors, they understand what is the responsibility to ensure a harassment-free work environment. Ensure that all employees, they are able to understand in whichever language it's possible for them. What are the procedures for dealing with harassment? New and long-term employees should be involved into it, providing training, information and education. You actually need to show it means something for you. So policy has to be suitable for managers as well as supervisors. Sexual harassment should prompt, investigate, deal with all the complaints of harassment, appropriate discipline of the employees who provide or harass the other employees. Now, providing protection and support for employees who feel they are being harassed, and also to take action to eliminate discriminatory jokes, posters, graffiti, mails, photos at worksite. You should avoid all that. Monitoring and revising the policy. It's just now the policy is being made and it's done. On constant basis, you regularly need to evaluate them to check the effectiveness of your workplace. Employers should also provide mechanism for addressing sexual harassment in a confident way and sensitive manner after the grievance has been filed. The minute a grievance has been filed and everyone knows about it, it becomes a little embarrassing for the employee as who's working in. So understanding the sensitivity of the issue, tackling that issue in the way it has to be, in a very rational and matured fashion. A well-constructed and well-implemented plan within an organization may stop inappropriately conducted before it creates a problem for an individual or the company. Before it becomes a bigger problem, how can we deal with it? How can we stop it? And how can we take care of this particular issue? Let's tackle another issue, that is alcoholism and drug abuse. Drug abuse and alcoholism is becoming a problem in all classes. It's a very expensive problem for business as well as industry. Alcoholism and drug abuse brings with itself loss of productivity, absenteeism, injuries, fatalities, theft, low employee morale, and an increase in healthcare and legal liabilities and workers' compensation costs, which shoots up high. The impact of alcoholism and drug dependence on the workplace, it often focuses on four major issues. The first one is premature death and fatal accidents. If a person has consumed drugs which are non-medical, it might lead to premature death, it could lead to accidents, and the organization has to pay for it. Injuries, accident rate increases, there's absenteeism, people do not want to come to work, extra sick leaves are required, there's loss of production, and all this leads to organization's loss. Additional problems which can be seen, which could be tardiness or sleeping on job, after effects of the substance use, that is hangover, withdrawal, which affects your job performance. It also leads to poor decision making. You have loss of efficiency, theft. You start stealing in because you want to ensure money is being diverted to the other cause. Lower morale of co-workers, increased likelihood of having trouble with co-workers, supervisors or tasks. Preoccupation with obtaining and using substance while at work, interfering with attention as well as your concentration. So illegal activities at work include selling in your drugs to other employers also. So one rotten apple will ensure that everyone else is spoiled. So this is not a good sign for the organization. Higher turnover rate. Training of new employees hampers. Disciplinary procedures needs to be taken in this case. How do we deal with alcoholism and substance abuse or drug abuse? We need to administer and test to deal or detect alcoholism and drug abuse. And along with it, we need to have employee tests and weed out the candidates who are potential candidates for indulging into such cases. Now, counseling. We should counsel the candidates, and organizations should ensure that everyone knows of the harmful effects these drugs cause on us. Provide training, take disciplinary action, controlling the employee's financial by paying in salary to the employee's family and other members. So here we come at the end of Quality Work Life. Thank you for patient listening.